Blog Talk Radio.
There are places in Havana that remind me of Savannah, parts of West Virginia that might as well be Kenya, parts of New York City,
parts of New York City,
parts of Mississippi.
Welcome, welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. My name is Beata. I'm your hostess tonight. And thank you for joining me on this beautiful night in Florida. No rain for a change. And we are blessed to be on the earth breathing. And as India Ari sang that beautiful song, Ghetto, the world is a ghetto. And we're talking about a topic that is very ghetto-ish. The black-on-black crime and women's choices. And I'm so grateful to be able to come to Soul Purpose Healing every week and bring you some topics that hopefully will help you grow and ascend in your soul journey, in your spiritual journey. That's why I'm here. Soul Purpose Healing started almost 2 years ago on Blog Talk Radio, and I had a host, two hostesses, came and went, and so I'm still here to carry on. And Soul Purpose Healing, for those of you who may be new listening to the show, is about getting us back into alignment with the Creator's love, purpose, wisdom, and understanding. It's so interesting to watch the people around me lately. And it just seems like I'm an alien on this planet, because the behavior of many people that I watch, it just seems so strange. And so that's why I thought India Ari's song is so appropriate. The world is a ghetto. the ghetto that is in the mind of some people is really amazing what's going on. And that's why we're talking about black-on-black crime. I woke up this morning, and I didn't have any topic whatsoever, so I said, well, let's look at the news. I looked at the news on my phone, and the first thing I saw was a woman talking about a little girl is dead, and hashtag Black Lives Matter, a woman named Peggy Hubbard. And if you would like to see her video, I posted it today on my Facebook page, both Facebook pages, the video of Peggy Hubbard, which went viral because of what this woman was saying, so very relevant. And I'm going to read some of the transcript for you in case you don't have time to go to the website, because it's so very relevant to what's going on in our society right now. We are ignoring the black-on-black crimes, and the media is ignoring the black-on-black crimes. We don't hear anything about the hatred that is going on in the black communities all over this country. We just hear about white policemen against black men. And so if you're a conscious person, at this point you should realize what the media's agenda is. And so this woman's video is very important to bring the focus back to the neighborhood, because, if we don't heal our neighborhoods first, if we don't heal our souls first, if we don't heal us first, then we're never going to solve the problem of race in this country. And so tonight we're going to open up the phones. If you want to comment tonight, please hit number one if you would like to comment on this subject tonight. And I expect to hear a lot of voices tonight because this is such an important topic. We need to get to the root of the problem and offer some solutions. This show will go on for maybe 2 hours, I don't know. But we want to offer some solutions tonight to black-on-black crime. And I put in another topic which is very much related, and that's women's choices. Because the other news item that kind of slapped me in the face was the protests going on around abortion clinics these days. And because of the videos that were exposed about selling baby parts. This is nothing new, folks. They've been selling baby parts from abortion clinics the 1950s. I don't want to surprise anyone or cause any alarm, but this has been going on since the 1950s. I, for one, have been keeping track of this, and I teach about vaccinations. And the only way that many of these vaccinations are made is from aborted fetal tissue. And this started way back in the 1950s. They started taking monkey parts, monkey kidneys, monkey everything to make these vaccinations. And then they started focusing on fetal tissue. And because abortions were illegal, the Roe versus Wade movement started with the scientists and all the government officials to get abortions legal so they could do what? Guess what? Get more aborted fetal tissues. But it doesn't, that's the issue is really with women. The real issue with black-on-black crime tonight, we're going to talk about this, is choices and being unconscious in our deeds. A lot of the choices that women are making and that these men are making, killing each other in the black community, are what I would call unconscious deeds. They are not conscious of the law of the universe that says you reap what you sow. If we had had more people, just think about Bill Cosby. If Bill Cosby had been conscious about the universal law of reaping and sowing, one wonders if he would have been slipping drugs in women's drinks. But that is not the topic tonight. That's just an example of what being conscious can do to a person. They will think about the future consequences. So tonight I want to just start by reading a little bit of Peggy Hubbard's video. I have the transcript here. I want to just read a little bit of her transcript to point out the passion in this woman. This is a black woman from Rockford, Illinois. And I read this morning, I almost wanted to cry because it was so full of truth. And again, if you want to see the video, you can probably Google A Little Girl Is Dead and it'll come up, or if you can go to my Facebook page, Vieta Robinson, and Soul Purpose Healing Facebook page, and you can see the video yourself. And what she's talking about is how we are protesting when criminals are arrested or shot or whatever, and yet a 9-year-old girl sitting reading a book in her mother's bed is killed by a running shooting. So let me read some of her passionate words that were on this video. These are her words, Peggy Hubbard, a black mother, I'm going to put it that way, from Rockford, Illinois. I'm losing my, I just lost my some of the transcript, but I'm going to get this back. Because, and why is this important again? Because we are unconscious. As I played in the beginning, the ghetto is a place, a lot of times, of unconsciousness. That we have black men killing black men, women, children are being in the line of traffic of shots. They're being killed, and so this woman, Peggy Hubbard, is making a very important statement. And the reason it went viral, because we need to pay attention. We need to pay attention to a mother's cry to stop the violence. To stop the violence. Because what is happening is where the media is controlling what people are thinking and seeing and doing. And I'm just trying to get her transcript back. I have it on my phone, and my phone decided to go somewhere else. So here is part of her transcript. She said, last night, who do you think they protested for? The thug, the criminal, because they're howling police brutality. Are you kidding me? Police brutality? How about black brutality? A little girl is dead. You say black lives matter? Her life mattered. Her dreams mattered. Her future mattered. Her promises mattered. It mattered. You are out there tearing up the neighborhood I grew up in. I was born and raised there by a single mother with 8 children. She raised 8 kids by herself and lost one. That boy did not listen and died by the gun. You want to be upset about black lives? You want to be upset about police brutality? There is police brutality out there. I will give you that. But night after night after night on Channel 4, Channel 2, Channel 30, Channel 11, and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch murder on black murder. Yet you tear up other people's stuff for a criminal, a thug, bailing out criminals and thugs. Let me tell you something. I got a kid locked up. Oh, yeah, I put him there. I turned. Yes, I did, because I'm a strong black woman. I am a black mother. I told my children that if you mess up, if you go to jail, I'm not getting you out. You will stay there. You will do you. I ain't sending you magazines. I'm not anything for you, because I did everything I could for you out here, and yet you chose to go in there. If you don't care about me and your father working and putting in time and effort to raise you and be there for you, and we took note of everything you were interested in, and you ended up in there, then you belong. Stuff, it don't matter. You're killing each other. White people don't care. They don't care. Save us some tax dollars. I need some parts for my Harley, my new Harley. If you want to die, die. Go ahead and knock yourself out. Your life does not matter. It doesn't matter. Truth of the reality. If you don't care, then we don't care. Why should we go out and protect for your ass? You broke the law. You're carrying another stolen gun. You're yelling, F the police, F you. You're shooting at the police. Police drops your ass. Poor so-and-so, he died due to police brutality. 127 homicides. You all want to holler police brutality. You're tearing up communities over thugs and criminals. You're putting plagues in the ground over somebody who would not stop. He had a chance to stop. How many times is someone going to tell you to stop doing that stuff before they do something to you? Do you think the police are out there for fun? Do you think they're out there for games? They're not going to tuck you in. They're not going to give you a cookie and sing you a lullaby. No, they're going to pop a cap in your ass. You shoot at them, and they're going to shoot at you. If you try to kill them, their job is serve and protect, not serve and die. Those are the words of Peggy Hubbard, a black woman in near Rockton, Illinois, actually near St. Louis. And so let me just take a breath. Everybody take a breath. Breathe that in, the passion from one woman who just brought me almost to tears when I read that this morning and realized that, yes, there's so much truth in what she's saying, and that we are being influenced by the media, especially the entertainment industry. I took some time to watch the show that's called Empire. My sister talks about this show. I don't have a TV, so I went to my Netflix and watched Empire because she talks about this show, and I've heard so many other people talk about it, and I believe someone won an Emmy. And I watched one episode of Empire, and I said, that's why we have black-on-black crime. That's why the ghetto is the ghetto. Women kill it, slapping each other around, calling each other bitches. People, men shooting other men and getting away with it. Entertainment. Yeah, go ahead and entertain me. That's what black people love. Entertainment. Entertainment. The media, Hollywood, is messing us up in the ghetto. That's what's bringing the black people on black crimes. And that's where women are choosing to take the life of their unborn children, the media. And for those of you who don't know about Planned Parenthood, just to say, this is about a devaluing of life, devaluing of other black lives and a devaluing of the life that grows in a woman. Because Margaret Sanger, who started Planned Parenthood, her agenda was to kill black babies, worthless people, she called us. And yet Planned Parenthood continues now in a whole new battle. We've got this whole new battle with Planned Parenthood. The agenda hasn't changed. They just changed the way it looks. So until the ghetto and the blacks wake up and realize the media's control, Hollywood's control, the food industry's control, the medical system's control, we're going to continue to have black-on-black crime and continuing to blame each other instead of taking responsibility to honor this awesome design called the human vessel and our creator. I'm going to open up. I have two callers on the line so far who have hit number one. If you would like to comment, hit number one. I'm going to take a breath after that, and I'm all my past on for the moment. I've got four callers on the line. I look forward to all your comments, so please hang on. I'm starting with 336-350. I believe that's my sister in Arizona. Are you there?
Most definitely, sister.
Welcome. Welcome to Soul Purpose Healing.
Give thanks, sister. Give thanks. Sister Viata, you trip me out sometimes with how you listen to the Most High, and you hear what is being communicated through you, my sister. So I give thanks. This is so to the point because of this video that my Tai Chi teacher is putting up on YouTube in a little bit. We do not know. It's more to the media. It's mm-hmm. more to it than just the distortion that the media portrays. Mm-hmm. I believe if there were no doggone media, no this and no that, we would still be ignorant of who we are, meaning melanated people, colored people, Negroes, niggas. And I guess Mama Easy said it because it just kind of ruffles my feathers how stupid and unloving we can be. and we have free will. We, many of us, know the correct thing to choose. However, because of our ignorance and lack of care for the house that we walk in, for our house and others' houses that they walk in, we do not care. So therefore, we don't give a shit about us, and we therefore don't give a shit about anybody else. Excuse my French, but that's just what I'm feeling right now, sister. And we are choosing to continue to do what we do and lay the blame on others, meaning the Caucasian race of people and others, blaming others for a conscious decision that you have made to be crabs in the doggone barrel and not uphold your brothers and your sisters in L-O-V-E love. I've seen so much since I've been here on this reservation in Arizona with my own people, my own family, that I came through my mom's gate with. And it saddens me, you see. It saddens me, sister. So until we decide that we are going to start loving us,
mm-hmm,
and look in the mirror and see who's looking back, like Michael says, the man in the mirror, until we come to that realization, we will always, always, always have these issues. I may not see it in my lifetime when we've worked these things out. However, sister, it saddens me, and I'm very grateful that
you
are having this. Thank you, sister. Thank you. That's all I want to say right now.
Yeah, this is a passionate topic because we as melanin people, and those, even though, and because the women's choice thing is not about color, although the consequences are. So let me go to another caller, area code 901-303. Your microphone is open. Give us your name, please, where you're calling from.
All right, Sister V, this is Brother Ron.
Hi, Brother
Maria
Ron.
Talk from the
How
People
are you?
Show. The Yehuda, the Lion X. Sister, I mean, your show is comparative to what my show, but let me speak as an expat. See, expat, in my experience, they might not never know each other, might not have any kind of dealing with each other. But when they get together, they do business. But on the other hand, us, and being a good man right now, us, we talk about the system. We talk about the victims of the system, and we should hold them accountable, no refuge, no sanctuary. But we have to stick together, all of us. As they stick together, what they're doing, we got to educate them, we got to love on them, and we got to stick together. We're just going to complain about the situation. That's why we pushed the movement on my show, the Unified Resistance Intelligence Movement. That's why we all stick together. If you don't stick together and educate these brothers and sisters, they're not going to hold themselves accountable. If we keep offering them sanctuary and refuge for their behavior, they're going to keep doing what they're doing. So we got to come up with solutions to the problems. That's why the Real Talk for Real People show, we offer solutions. We don't simply complain about the problem. We offer solutions. So if we talk all day long about what they're doing out there, we can talk all day long about the white people and the system. But if we don't do anything ourselves in our communities, not only locally, nationally, and internationally, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years from now, we're going to be in the same spot we're in, talk about the same problem, because we're offering no solutions the sovereign problem, would continue to offer sanctuary and refuge to the criminal element in the communities, and we offer no other alternatives because we're not building any commerce, any infrastructure. And yes, the onus does not lie upon the system in itself, and we should be accountable. But those that are enlightened by Yah should be in a position where they're doing much more than offering criticism and offering solutions.
And absolutely. Yes. Thank you, Brother Ryan. And that's why
I support your show and anybody else, because what you're doing, you're a spokesperson. You're doing something active. A lot of people, they call into our show, but yet that's where it ends. They got to just stop calling to our show. We appreciate them calling in, but they need to stick together with us, and we need to band together and unify together and come up with some common solutions together.
Well, and let me ask you this, Brother Ron. Do you think, what do you think of Peggy Hubbard's perspective on this? This is the woman I read, her a little girl is dead. What is your perspective on her opinion?
Sister V, she's right on point. She's right on point with it because of the fact. I'm feeling her pain. I'm feeling her anguish.
Yeah,
and because I'm feeling her pain and anguish, that's why I do what I do. That's why you do what you do. And we need much more than you, Sister V, and me. We need much more than you, Sister V, and me, and the other small talk shows. We need a whole conglomerate of people, and everybody should be a spokesperson in the community. Not only you and I doing what we do on our small scale, but everybody needs to add their piece of the puzzle, as we say on the show, and then we can fix this big jigsaw puzzle together. But if you and I, Sister V, we just bring our little puzzle to the problem. You and I only got one portion of that puzzle, and everybody just laying around for you, waiting for you and I to solve the problem. You and I can't solve the problem.
Right.
You and I can only be spokesperson, as we do for our community, what we're doing now. And everybody else need to get off their legs behind and stop complaining and do something about it. Stick with us and offer some solutions to the problem versus pointing at the victims, which they are victims now because this system has victimized them. They're ignorant. And so how we educate them is to stop being victims, and how do we offer alternatives to what they're doing? And I concur with you, sister, about that empire thing. I talked about it on the show several times. That's garbage. That's empire. What kind of empire they're talking about building? The same old, same old. Well, Sister V, I ain't going to hold you, but I love you, sister. Keep doing what you're doing.
I love you, too. You keep doing what you're doing. I think the more like personal responsibility to raise our consciousness and share this type of message of awakening to others, the energy from each one of us will spread. We just got to keep waking our brothers and sisters up, having conversations like this. And I believe the universe is for us to make the change that's needed. I'm opening up the mic for area code 920-471. You're on the air. Please give us your name and where you're calling from. Are you there?
Sure, in Florida. And, you know, I sometimes the phone keeps off with me, and I'm glad you got me on before I have to go to the client. Cry out to the Most High to put an end to some of these atrocities, not only what other people are doing to us, but what we're doing to ourselves. But I've been studying the social conditions that we have for a long time, ever since I was teaching some of these people that's out there killing themselves now. And I'm not blaming, I'm just giving facts. I don't know how it's going to go. But our children have been Ritalin to death with other drugs from the time they are diagnosed with ADHD, and they go all the way. And I just talked to a young woman tonight. She says she is still hyperactive, but when she got out of school, they didn't continue her medication. So imagine these children, and let's say there are 30 children in a classroom. Out of 30 of them, half of them on one of those some type of drug, either ADHD, depression, bipolar. So when the government is done educating these children and they turn 18 or whatever, they drop out of school, their Ritalin cuts off. That's free medicine for those children. As long as they're in that school, they put that straight jacket on them to make them sit in that one chair all six or eight hours. And they go. Mm-hmm. So you got, this is what's out there on the street right now. Children who are trying to drug themselves. Their parents can't get the drugs for them because they're over the age. They have to either use the 40 ounces or they have to either use whatever they could steal or rob from the pharmacies, or people are out there now selling their medication. People, I've been in three states. California, you can get Vicodin, Oxycontin. These people are paying $10 to $30 for one tablet, sister, because the government shouldn't cut these children off when they're 18. They need to provide a program that still medicate these children. I hate medicine, but since they brainwash the children with the medicine from preschool all the way up to they graduate, some of them drop out because they know they're different because the medication makes them different. Now, that's one facet. The other facet is systematically, drugs have been put in our neighborhood since the 60s. Now, these are the drugs that they transport here. And I know you all have heard before that we don't own the planes. We don't own the boats bringing these things. We need to find out who's bringing this into our neighborhood. I have a good idea, but I'm not going to accuse somebody on this line. They know who they are. They're the little stores that set up in your neighborhood, and they have the same food on their shelf for 20 years, the same box of macaroni or whatever they sell it. These people are not in your neighborhood selling you food. They're doing something else, okay? Now, you got those three components. Now you know I'm a spiritual woman. I give all praise to Yah. We are under this curse we're under. And until we turn back to our Creator, whatever you want to call that force, the vortex, some people in the New Age call it energy, soul energy or vortex energy, we need to call on something greater than ourselves. And we can change this, like you said, we put all our energies together. But I don't want to say it's these young men, dude. We got the videos, just like both you and Brother Ron talked about, Empire. What is that show on the air for? It's only to tell our children, be a gangster. You could sing, you could be gay, do whatever you want to do, and you're going to make it. These are bad examples for our children. On the show that Brother Ron does, we're telling the neighborhood to get your own school. Take your children out of these public schools and set up your own school. From that one school, you can draw out a restaurant because you got to cook for the children, and those cooks in that school could take orders around the neighborhood. They can go in other communities and say, we'll deliver your lunches. You can get a restaurant out that school. You can get a janitorial cleaning service out that school. You could also get a tutorial program for businesses to come out of setting up your own private school. Then you could have meetings about Empire. Have a special day. Let's discuss this show that's on TV. Do you think what these people are doing all right? They're not going to do this in the public schools. This is time for us to take responsibility. I agree with you 100%. We've got to stop trusting our children to the media, to the officers in the street, and not all of them are bad, because that's another tenet of the movement on Real Talk to Real People. We don't judge our officers by the action of these two. And some of them are on drugs. Some of these officers are on something. And you know officers weren't acting like this years ago. So as a people, we better wake up and band it together, because there's scripture that tells us, gather yourself together, all nations not desiring. We've got to come together. The Christian, the Islam, the Muslim, all of these faiths need to be put on the burner, back burner, and come together. Let's get our communities cleaned up. Then you go right back to your synagogue, go back to your mosque, go back to your temple. Do what you want on your holy day. But during the week, we got 7 days our children are being gunned down like rabid dogs out here on the street. Mm-hmm. And that little girl hasn't lived to see 10 years old, and she's gone. Tamir Rice got killed by police. We don't matter who's killing us. we still die, and we got to put a stop to this. I'm so glad you're doing the show. Mm-hmm. I know everyone is passionate about it, so I'm not going to take up another person's time to talk. But if anybody wants solutions, please call 912-338-1905, 5 days a week at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. We have solutions. There's no leader. You will become the organizer in your community once you get these 5 steps. Please, we got to do something to stop this. And the creator not going to do something unless we get off our lazy bums and do something too. So with that, I say I love you. Keep up the good work. I knew this was going to be a great presentation tonight. I'll try to get it on the archives because I'm doing that cry-out session. This is the first night back after we take a break. And if you allow me, I would like to invite your listeners to call that line 5 days a week from Sunday to Thursday, if you allow me. Just to work your interest. Okay, we do a cry-out session, Dial Creative Force, and that number is 302-202-1110. Very easy. 302-202-1110, and the access code is 372-876. We'll be happy to hear anything you all have to say. We also talk about solutions to what you're discussing tonight also. Love you. I'll see you soon.
Love you,
Shalom.
Too. Yeah, right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Sister Darisha. And as you mentioned, people are being killed all over the place by police, by other blacks. And if you're a person of the word, a person who reads the scriptures, the Old Testament or what we call the Torah always teaches us about death because thousands of children died in the Old Testament. The Israelites were dying all over the place. Why? Because the Creator was trying to get their attention. They were rebellious. They were disobedient. And so the lesson for us, the parables in the Bible about death are always wake-up calls, in my opinion. Always wake-up calls, whether it's a young 9-year-old girl or black-on-black crime or police brutality. These are wake-up calls. Time to renew our beliefs and our values. And as it's already been mentioned, the school system is broken. The medical system is broken. The educational system, you name all these systems, our food system is broken, GMO, time to renew our beliefs and values. Let me open up another call, 770-775. You're on the air. Please give us your name and where you're calling from.
Well, greetings, Sister Viata. This is Brother Kwame.
Greetings. Thank you, Brother Kwame.
Good evening to
welcome, welcome.
And to Mama AZ and to the sister there in Florida. You know, it's a very powerful topic that you divinely were given because there are no mistakes. So Source knew that these are the things in which had to be spoken in this now moment. And, you know, we do not inherit the earth from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children. That's a quote that we have to learn to listen to. Because I know you were speaking in the Holy Biblia, or the books of words. In Genesis 1:14, God said, "Let there be light in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be signs." That's what he specifically said, "Let them be for signs." The day and the night are for signs and for the season. And what we have now is these are signs as to how we are out of order as human beings, not just black people. The human race has become out of order. And the thing that we're looking at is how the heavens stay in its order. Every planet stays in its orbit. Our sun, everything in the cosmos is in order. We as humans have chosen to allow ourselves to become out of order. And it's really funny because I've been doing some research, and there's a book called Mapping the Mississippi Shatter Zone. And what they're talking about is what happened when they came into America. And if I can just share this one thing that happens with what we look at the indigenous people of this tribal land. And he's talking about the Shawnee and the tribal lands were hollow grounds to them. And they drew both physical and spiritual substance from it. The historian James Taylor Carson expanded his focus, writing that an American Indian from the South removal triggered a crisis of cosmologically because it upset the spiritual system of ritual and power that Southern natives had written into the landscape. And this is all by design. They're knowing those few that charge the many know how to read the signs. Right now, we're looking at all of these events that's going on because you look at something. We just had 888. This is nature's order. 888 is the Lion's Gate. It opens, and it opens from the 8th to the 12th. This month is the year of 888 because 2015 is an 8. This is a really powerful time in 2015 because in 1455, the Pope gave a papalist bull to put us into perpetual slavery. In 1865, we were emancipated, just transferred ownership from one slave master to the corporate headquarters called D.C. In 1965, we were given civil rights and saying that we are now looked at as being civil and we are giving certain rights to be able to do something. In 1995, 2 million men marched in the mall in Washington. In 2005, 10 years ago, Hurricane Katrina, which they blew up the levees and flooded out the people of the Ninth Ward in the southern parts of Louisiana, that 10-year anniversary on the 27th will now appear. 2015 is a very important portal time because this is the ending of the last of the four blood moons. And when you were talking about the Torah and them studying, you know, the Hebrew religion, it's a very powerful because these moons, this moon energy has a great effect because they know and what to do at a certain time to do it because August the 9th, was when that last year was when they had the shooting in Ferguson. They had the anniversary just 2015, August the 14th, was the new moon. They know that the power of the moon is shifting in energy and planting a seed. And what did they open? What? Out of Compton. Then they turn around and they're having what's getting ready to happen there in Florida is going to kick off on the full moon in Pisces on August the 29th. Madonna will kick off her Red Rebel Heart tour. It's going to travel from Florida on up to Atlanta and then up, but it's going to coincide with the Pope's visiting Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, New York, Times Square, they're going everywhere that she goes before him, he's coming behind her and commending the ceremony. But I remember I said it started with 1455, the papalist bull. And so they're knowing what they're doing. This is all by design. And the genocidal process of genocide, which eugenics is what she started, and Hitler used that same book to kill those 6 million because he read it. It was published here in the United States and sent to them. So this genocidal project and you, what is it, Abortion USA, they have a time clock. Do you know that there have been since the 70s, and you're right, it started in the 50s and doing this with the fetus, but since the 70s until now, there have been 17 million black, just not counting all the other people, 17 million. When you look at the Atlantic slave trade that took place in Europe from the time it went on, UNESCO did a conference in Port-au-Prince, Haiti, back in the 70s, and they had all the countries that was in the slave trade. And when they asked, how much cargo did you lose, the total number of the cargo of Africans lost in the Atlantic slave trade was 210 million. That's a lot of difference from that 6 million that was in Germany. That's 210 million that didn't make it here. And the millions that have gone on through this historical genocidal process, what she's talking about, we need to wake up. Because there's only going to be a few, and they're practicing now. And what they're going to do with the rest of, with Jade Helm and Executive Order 13609, you can go on, the Executive Order, they have implemented the new King Alfred, the Rex 84. Now they are looking at internment camps that are going to be like Walmart, that they shut down and they're opening up and seeing how they can fix it and make internment camps. They have it by design. And if we don't start doing some spiritual, like
Thank you.
Said in the book, it needs to be spiritual. We can't win the physical.
Yeah,
we have
right.
to go back to the spiritual and working with
mm-hmm.
the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with the mind.
Can I be heard?
Yeah, yeah go ahead.
Brother Kwame, that's what this cry out call is about. To for us to cry out to the Most High. We've been doing it now, praise Almighty Yah, for 4 weeks. We only do, I'm going to say Sunday through Thursday, but I don't use those days because I know that's calling out to some other deities. But what we exactly what you're saying is what we do on that cry out call. We give scripture, but if somebody have another thing they would like to project for us to put our spiritual energy together to cry out to the Most High, and he will listen. If you read any accounts, Brother Kwame, you just said they're using their spiritual power. What do you think, Madonna and that Pope? That's just like Mother Mary and the Godfather. I call the Pope the Godfather of the world. And all of these presidents and emperors or whatever, they're just his, what you call, the fathers of each family. This is really a mafia we're living in. So if they're using their spiritual power, Sister Viata, we better start using our spiritual power. We're in the flesh. We came in these flesh bodies for a reason. We have to use our spirit, find out what our spiritual calling is. I praise you, I have mine. I know you have yours. I know Brother Kwame. I know that Sister Mama AZ, you know your spiritual calling, but we got to put this energy together. We got to put this energy together because that's what they're doing, Madonna and the Pope. Those two energies together are making some headway in their, where I don't want to say demonic, but that's the lack of a better word. They're using spiritual power to do what they do. They make sacrifices.
Well, it's our job, those of us on this call and those who will listen later in the archives, to become more aware of the adversarial energy that is amongst us and the Creator's energy that is all more powerful. It reminds me of the scripture, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in Yahuwah, to pull down all these strongholds, Madonna, Pope, whatever, they're just, you know, these are minor irritations in the mind of. Especially have power. Why do you think they're targeting melanin people? Because there's so much power in the melanin blood and the minds of these young men who are killing each other. There's so much potential to make a difference in this earth that they have been targeting even the baby Moses from the beginning of time. They didn't want this power to arise, but there have always been messengers of love and power to come in and help us. And that's why we are here today. Those of us who are aware and conscious of the need to come out of the matrix, come out of the matrix.
Right.
This is part of the solution. We're talking about this woman's, Peggy Hubbard's passion about a little girl dying, but the little girl dying was a messenger along with all the other people who are dying, the Sandra Blands. These are all messengers to wake us up and to bring us to a place of saying, I'm out of the matrix. I'm going to leave the entertainment field. If you have children, let me just say this. If you have children, you should not have cable in the house. Because when you're not home, guess what their little minds are going to do? Where's Empire? Where's the other adversarial programs for so-called entertainment? There has to be a decision made by parents to not even have cable in the house. That's the way it has to be these days. When
or
we were those
cell
of us,
phones.
Yeah, and those of us who grew up, those of us baby boomers, and I think most of us are probably called baby boomers who grew up back in the 60s, we had, what, five TV channels to look at? We had favorite shows that we watched. Now, how many choices? When you sign up for cable TV, you got over 200 or 300 choices. Do you want that influence? Do you want that energy in your house? That's the question. Are we going to bring that type of energy in our houses anymore, where even turning on the TV is tempting to watch all the, I mean, if you're going to pay for 300, you're going to have to make some effort to indulge yourself in it. So why would you even want to pay for something like that anymore? That's what we're talking about, the mind changing, renewing our minds. This is about renewing our beliefs and values. We are not in the 60s where there's only 60 innocent people, gun smoke and all those other innocent, fairly innocent entertainment shows. You got an influence of 300 devils coming at you. And even though you have the nature shows and some of the more educational shows, children are going to do what they do, is they're inquisitive. They're going to look at the other channels. They're going to want to know what's going on in the other garden over there that's playing the Empires and all the other shows. So we have to make up our minds. Are we going to change our beliefs and values so that we can make a change in this earth to bring about the peace that is so needed? Or are we going to continue in the old beliefs, the old values, the old medical system values, the old that women, let's just get into women's choices for a minute. Mm-hmm. And I think I have some counselors on the line maybe who might be able to share with us some of the women they speak to who have been through abortions. That's a choice that women make, just like blacks killing blacks. They don't value life. They do not value life. Because a woman who conceives and is conscious, she realizes that's a gift, that's a blessing, to have life growing inside of her. But we are so programmed with the Planned Parenthood mentality that you have a choice. Yes, women have a choice, and all women should have a choice, because all women need to learn about reaping and sowing and the karmic law out there that says you are going to have consequences. So women have a choice whether to end a pregnancy. But do we know the consequences? Are there any out there who have spoken to some of the women who had such regret after that abortion that they were almost suicidal, some of them? And not to mention, let me just say, not to mention the fact that it's come out that breast cancer is often attributed to abortions. Go ahead. Do you have a comment, sister?
Yes, ma'am. You know, I'm sitting here looking out over this mountain here on the reservation, and I'm thinking about my childhood and all of the repercussions of my mom not knowing who she was. I don't think my daughter knows yet, my oldest daughter, Shannon, that my mom was so upset with me that I did not go to Nogales, Mexico, to allow myself to have an abortion. And she was drinking, and she pulled a .45 and pointed at my head and said, "I will kill you." You know, maybe she knew something that I didn't know. However, I still stood up to her and I said, you might as well kill me because I see all of these women that come through your door and you take them to Nogales. And I see the discomfort that they're in. As a little girl, sister, I'm looking out at this mountain and I'm thinking, damn, you know, we pay, this family paid for the consequences of my mom's decision. And I'm not blaming her. It is just what it is. However, I am grateful that I chose to come here and experience those lessons because I see, you know, what happens mentally, emotionally, physically, and the whole nine yards. It may not mean anything, maybe taking a drink of water to some people. However, I've been there. I've done that. And I've had the opportunity to see all the women that came through my mom's door, you see. And I share this because of what time of day it is.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this will help someone else about when they're getting ready to not bring a child into this life, even though we may have chosen not to be here, like my nephews, you know, because the parents are so chaotic. However, if they weren't aborted, they just decided to leave. I got to get out of here because I cannot get what I came to the planet for through this human being, you see. So, sister, one must think twice, 5 or 6 times, 80 times, they have to, because it may not seem like it has an effect. However, it does. I see it in my family, my brother, my nieces, everybody. And I'm so grateful. At 27, I decided to leave Arizona and go to Florida and Virginia, because that's the only way that I could be speaking to you and your listening audiences at this moment. And I'm very grateful to the Most High and the ancestors and the Ascended Masters that allowed me to hear and guide me. I mean that, sister. So, think twice, people. Think twice before you take a life. If that life doesn't decide to leave you, take a chill pill and bring forth that being that needs to have this journey.
That's a point, very important point you just said. If that life doesn't decide to leave you, that is so real. Because there are women, I remember reading about a woman who helped women have conscious abortions. And I'm like, what does that mean? So conscious abortion was like the woman admits to her creator, admits to the Most High, I am really not ready to have this child. Guess what? She would have a miscarriage. And there are so many women who have had miscarriages. And we don't know the reasons behind that, but for some reason, like you just mentioned, that life decides to leave. That process is ended. And then you have some women who wanted to abort their children, but it didn't happen. My father was an example. where his mother, back in the 20s, they were using coat hangers and bleach and whatever they could because they were in poverty. And his mother told him, I tried everything I could to abort you or not have you, but it didn't happen. And he came in at 10 pounds. The man was born weighing 10 pounds. And this was from a poor family. So my dad's story was so relevant for me. Because then my own mother told me when she was near her death that she wanted to abort me for her emotional state of whatever she was in. And here I am 60 years later telling this story. So there's this divine override that happens with women who want to get rid of their children. And then there's the conscious effort to abort, and they have miscarriages. And then for whatever reasons, they other women have miscarriages for who knows what. But it really is a divine energy at work. That process of growing a baby in a mother's womb is divine energy. So when we respect that, we have respect for that, we're not going to want to end that process. But so many women don't have that respect because Planned Parenthood and other media sources and other parents or whatever have programmed women to believe that that life is not important, that process is not valuable, and it's so easy for you to end that for your convenience. What are some of the reasons women don't want to have children? There are numerous reasons, but a lot of it has to do with being inconvenienced in their lifestyle. Being afraid that life will bring discomfort. Go ahead, Brother Kwame. Brother Kwame, are you there? 775. I think he dropped out for a minute. I don't know why. When I see his number come back in. But there are several on the line. If you have a comment or a question, feel free to press the number 1. And Brother Kwame is back, so I'm going to bring back Brother Kwame. You dropped out for a minute there, and you're back. So welcome back.
And I thank you for the excellent information as far as women's rights. And the ancestor says is that when is a child, you know, we look at, you know, being pregnant, but the whole concept that they said is that when a woman thinks of the child, it's conceived. And in that being the case of just having the thought, like you said, when she thinks she doesn't want it, it aborts. But thinking, when she is thinking of it in that some part in her life as a little girl, as a young woman, whatever point is when that energy comes to her about bringing forth that life. But the thing that I'm hearing and listening and saying that the mothers, the grandmothers, and I heard Miss AZ and she's doing that. And even when you were talking about, you know, seeing that your father was to be aborted, tried to be aborted, and your mother wanted to abort, I know that in my young youth, came home from school early one day. My mom's a nurse, and you're correct. The coat hangers and the speculums and the little bitty, you know, rubber holes on that, saw that being done, and saw that young girl afterwards who had that done by my mother. And so the thing is that in seeing that part of that and then becoming a man and seeing my children born and seeing the beauty of what a woman's body produces and how her body is the woman is stronger than a man. If you ever a man standing in the delivery room and you watch the child come through her birthing canal, you know that when you see that crown upon that child coming out of her, that's the first thing it's done. It's presented with the crown because its head is crowned. And then it's brought forth, and then the breath is given to the child. with the plugs removed from that. But the whole concept of that, as a man seeing that, and I have to share this because Mitchell Gibson was, he's a psychiatrist up in North Carolina. He's up there where Ms. AZ was, used to be in the area of High Point. Anyway, Mitchell was interviewing this woman and her child, and the mother had brought them in because they were getting ready to put the child on Ritalin and try to calm the, put the child on drugs. And so he took the child into his office, and he asked the little boy, he says, you know, he saw in his spirit was something was, and he asked him, he says, have you, you know, been here before? Are you, he says, yes, I've tried to come through, I've tried to come here many times. And every time I would try to come through my mother, she would send me back. And he remembered, that child remembered the energy of what happened and being torn apart and taken out of her and go back. And he told him this, and he went and told, asked her. He asked her, have you had abortions? She says, yes, I've had a few abortions. She says, the child remembered. It tried to come, but each time you tore it up and sent it back. And after she amended with the child and she communicated with the child's spirit, the child became okay. They didn't have to put it on drugs. But it remembered. That child has a memory. That's why in conception, when the woman is conceived, has conceived, that is the most precious time in cultures that we're not honoring here in this country. Because when you teach the young woman how to prepare what her body is getting ready to become, that's the grandmother, the mother, the aunties, and then the fathers that are there to teach the young man, when we remove this hood from you and circumcise you and make you now a man, these are the things that you got to be responsible and learn how to do and what you're getting ready to do as an adolescent, but you're schooled in how to become a man and a father. Anybody can be a sperm donor. That's what's happening in our community today. And the sperm donors have, you know, a contraceptive called Planned Parenthood. And, you know, it's really something even funnier than that, because they're saying that at any given time, roughly 98,000 female inmates in the state institutions, one in 25 is reported to be pregnant. And if you've ever seen women that are being taken to a hospital to deliver a child, they're chained to the gurney in the delivery room, and once they have that child, it's removed. That child is taken and turned over to foster care, and she's put back in a wheelchair, chained, put back in a van, and sent back to prison. Some prisons allow them to be in there for maybe a year or 6 months to where they have a nursery and the mother can interact, but most of them turn them over to foster care. So you have, like I've seen in the prison in North Carolina, there's three generations. The grandmother's in prison, the mother's in prison, and the daughter just got to prison. And she was born in prison.
That's pretty shocking. That's another shocking wake-up call that we have to renew our beliefs and values and begin to teach our children about honoring life from the womb till the time they come out of the womb. This is where we have
to
be. That's right, honoring life. And that's why these systems that are in place right now, the medical system, the educational system, the food industry, are weakening and killing us slowly and causing much suffering. So if we are not going to make a conscious decision to come out of the systems of this earth, then we're going to be suffering, and we're going to see more deaths, and we're going to be scratching our heads like, what is going on? So the first step is to make a decision that you're ready to come out of the systems, and then start making the goals, setting goals to come out, and how are you going to do that? You may have to sell your home and go live in the country. You may have to quit your job.
Right.
And find and go grow and grow some food. That's
but
one of the things that. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say we're born, and when we come from the womb, we come out of the cosmic womb, and we choose the parents to come through. And in us choosing, we're coming through to do a purpose, you know, because the womb is a place of protection, possibilities, and potential. That's why it was so sacred when she conceived, and those were the things that went on. And then when it came in, came out of that womb, we came out of the cosmic womb, and we chose to enter into the womb of a human woman. And we were there and grew and became, and we in the third trimester, the last 7 months, we decide to become male or female in the chromosomes. But the first development of that embryo, we're all divine feminine. We're all divine feminine. This has been a proven fact. Until that Y chromosome kicks in, we're all female.
And it's an amazing process, this development of the body, the vessel that our soul is going to dwell in. And we are seeing today such disrespect for not only that process of building a human body, but then the process that begins when that child is being raised by their parents and has to make decisions and this is something that bothered me so much, that shows that this is not a racial thing at all. There was a video posted to my Facebook. It was called some kind of prankster group, and they set up their brother, their young brother, who was about 9 or 10 years old, on the streets of New York in 5-degree weather with no clothes or hardly any clothes on, freezing, standing with a cardboard sign to see if anyone would help him. And it was a busy street. They were filming this, and it was a very busy street. People walked by this young man and just looked at him and kept going, even though he was obviously suffering and shivering. And then he stood there for 2 hours. For 2 hours, this young man stood there. He finally got into a plastic bag and began to shiver again, laying on the ground, on the sidewalk. And a man came up to him, a black man who was homeless, came up to him and said, "What's the matter? What's going on?" He took off his coat. The black man took off his coat and wrapped it around. He called him little brother. "Oh, don't worry, little brother. You can have my coat." Took off his coat, wrapped it around him. And at that point, the young man's brothers came over and said, "He's not really homeless, but we watched you help him, and we have a gift for you." And they handed him $500. And then another brother came up, one of the other brothers came over and said, "We really appreciate that." They handed him another stack of bills, and this homeless man just broke down in tears. I was crying just watching it, of the heartlessness of, for 2 hours, the people of New York passed by this young man with a sign, a little cardboard sign saying, "Help me." And they were just as heartless as could be and said, "No, we probably don't want to risk it. It might be something. You might have a gun." Who knows what goes through people's mind where they don't have compassion enough to stop and say, "Can I help you? Is there something I can do for you?" That just showed me how, where we have come as a people. When you can pass up a young man on the street who's homeless, who hardly has any clothes in 5-degree weather in New York City with your warm coat and your warm furs, and you should have seen the people who were passing him by wrapped up in their warm furs and hats, just ignoring him.
Right.
Have we really gotten to that place?
Right. We have no empathy, and here's a homeless man
who doesn't
but is willing to share his nothingness, his coat that it was keeping him warm, That's the compassion of us as a people. We are very forgiving and compassionate people. And this is something that we're losing because we're the three C's. We're communal, community, and conscious. They're the ice people. That's how cold those people were walking past that person. And this is a book, The Iceman Cometh, is a book that talks about these ice people. And what we're doing is that we all of a sudden thought that white ice was colder than black ice, and we wanted to assimilate into that being, and now we're emulating. That which they copy was civilization. They copy from us. They have received, all that they received came out of our records in building what they now call a civilization and what they're now calling uncivilized. They're tapping back into it, and you're seeing that they're going and down into these jungles and anywhere that indigenous people are and wanting to know, how do you have this spirituality? How did you get this consciousness? How do you survive in the way that you survive with less than what we have? But we turn around and think that we want to be so much like that which is not our own. See, you define a people by land, history, and culture. Ms. A.Z. made me go back because my birth certificate says colored boy. That's how my birth certificate is. It says colored boy.
Mm-hmm.
So in that part of them giving us labels and giving us these identities and giving the images of that which you were talking about in the Westerns, that's why when they gave us guns, they were kind of shocked because we weren't killing ourselves fast enough, because the only way we saw how to use a gun was watching cowboys, and so we started trying to throw bullets at each other. And then they came up with Boys in the Hood, and they told you, well, no, you turn it sideways and you point like this so you can get a good aim and blow each other away. We were trained through this system of media. We have been trained to destroy ourselves. Hip-hop, this is creativity. We brought the genre of music to this country. Jazz is the classical music of America. Mm-hmm. It came from the spirituals that we sang in slavery, the hymns that we learned, and some of the things that we remembered in our record that came from our ancestors coming here. The drum was banned, and then we learned to stomp and beat and clap hands. It's in our DNA. It's in our Akashic record. All we have to do is allow the universe to within us to awaken, and that's what they're keeping the frequency down and bombarding us with all of this distortion. All of these smartphones and iPads and computers, that's good technology, but the techno-spiritual is being able, the mother's frequency is 432. This is the human frequency.
May
the
I make a comment?
0.5 acidic, and we're turning around here, and the earth frequency is 7.82. We're out of harmony. We're disconnected. We've got to know how to reconnect to our energy source. And this is what the cosmic is bringing to this planet. As we speak, it is metamorphosing, and only a few, those that are choosing to tap into their source self, to that innerverse, and begin to do the involution. We've already evolved in the human. Mm-hmm. We went from a Homo erectus to Homo sapiens. Now we're moving to Homo spiritus. This is the involution now. This is the new 25,920-year journey around our mother, the Milky Way.
May I make a comment?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Brother Kwame. I am so grateful that you brought that to everyone's attention. You know, the other night, I have this little box where I reside. You have to go down to Fry's Market or Food City Market and put money in the machine and put load up your card, how much ever you want to put on it for your electricity, meaning electricity. And it just ran out, and I didn't even hear the doggone thing beep or anything. I didn't panic. It was hot. And I put perishable things up in the freezer, and something said, take a chill pill and meditate. And do you know, there was no electricity running through that house for 24 hours. And it felt as though, I kid you not, it felt as though something had lifted a weight from my brain. Even with contraptions, meaning computers, when there's somebody there with their laptop, their contraptions, or whatever, I feel it. It's like there is an anvil sitting on my body. And that night, that's for that 24 hours, I was quiet. I couldn't feel the electricity running through the house or anything. And it was amazing. I said, dang, would you look at that? I could literally feel it. And when my friend came to put some electricity on the box, the lights came on, I could feel that weight again.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, some of us are very sensitive to that. Yeah, and me and so many others, it's that electromagnetic frequency. And it helps us hear from our Creator more. But I know I have to use a lot of essential oils around here where I live because the EMFs are really going. I have a caller. I just noticed someone, area code 510-307. Your mic is on. Please give us your name and where you're calling from. Are you there? Area code 510? Maybe you're on mute. Unmute your phone. 510, and they just dropped out, unfortunately. So we have about I'll see if they come back on. They dropped off for some reason. We have about 7 minutes left, and we want to wrap it up with reiterating all the good solutions for the black-on-black crime, the women who are choosing to abort. And really, I feel like we're all here to learn lessons. You make your choices as wisely as you can, but just learn the lesson. The circumstances in our lives, especially in these neighborhoods, the circumstances in the neighborhoods are telling us something, are teaching us something, that we have to make changes and renew our beliefs and values. If you're having a drive-by shooting every weekend or every other day in your neighborhood, that's kind of a wake-up call. That maybe you're called to hold some meetings and even start an urban garden. That's something that's becoming very popular in the urban areas, that people are gardening. And I saw one video about some men who had come out of prison and they started gardening, and they were transformed. They were transformed. They were focused on providing something of value to the neighborhood, and they were learning a lot about gardening and planting seeds and growing fruit and vegetables. So maybe in those neighborhoods where you are seeing that violence, or even if you're in proximity, drive around and see how many vacant lots there are and whether the Creator and the Spirit is saying to you, maybe you should buy that lot and grow some vegetables. It's time for us to open our eyes and see where we can make a difference, what we need to be doing in our neighborhoods, in our churches, waking some church people up maybe, too much religion. Time to stir up the pot in the churches But you've heard, all those listening, you've heard a lot of voices tonight speaking what we believe is the true energy that is meant to uplift and empower us. These things that we're hearing tonight are meant to empower us to make different choices, to come out of the matrix, to come out of the medical system, the educational system, the food industry, the turn the TV off, better yet, get rid of the TV. That's how I feel about it. Don't even bother with TV. Go to the library. Study law. That's one thing that the People's Law Study Group promotes every Monday night, is that we have to need to know the law so we can defend ourselves. These lawyers are these days are just as crooked as the judges themselves. And so we really cannot be dependent any longer on these systems that have been set up by some men and women who do not have our best interest at heart. So if you've been on the line, we have about 5 minutes left. This is your opportunity, hit number one. We have a few callers who are still just listening. That's okay. But if you want to tune in or voice your opinion, now's the time as we're wrapping up this hour. It's been an hour and a half, praise Yah, that we've been able to send out our voices out into the World Wide Web. The World Wide Web is listening, and we have a caller who hit number one. Let's see, area code 502-370. Your mic is open. Give us your name, where you're calling from, please.
Ama from Kentucky.
Well, greetings, sister. Welcome. How are you?
I am. Thank you. And you?
I am.
A superb program. I just wanted my presence to know that I've been listening.
Hallelujah.
And it was just superb. It just covered so many things, you know. You spoke about the entertainment, and I see it as entrained thinking, which is a conditioned response that occurs when people are blocked from understanding.
Mm-hmm,
before,
mm-hmm.
But that's key right there, you know, and it comes from predictive programming.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear the voices saying to assist our brothers and sisters. For almost 50 years, that's exactly what I thought I was doing, starting with family, seeking change.
Mm-hmm.
It was like spinning my wheels in the sand. I had to let go and let the change come from within me first and foremost. And as that change transformed, that metamorphosis took place within me, then the spirit was able to guide me where I needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Those people weren't listening.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want to hear it. They were afraid of change. You know, I used to say to people, and I'll make this very quick, you know, you see the individuals out in the street, the panhandlers, they call them back in the days, you know, you have any change, you have any change, and they put their hand out, you have any change. And our human arrogance would reach into our pockets and pull out coins, a dollar bill. But that's not the change they were talking about. They were saying, like with a plea with their hand, do you have any change? That's how I saw it. And it's the same thing today. The change. We have to change within first. A lot of people don't want to change. They're afraid of change. They fear it.
Yeah.
Because change comes helplessness. And when you can embrace that helplessness within your own self, for nobody else but self, it's a new day. And people don't want to deal with that. They don't want to give up their fanciness, their materialism, their images, their pride, their vanity, their power, their control. They want to hold on to that. Control over their children. The boss got control over them. You know, so it's this back and forth thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is big before in another program. Everything is in divine order.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And isn't that the lesson for us? When we, and I agree 100% with you, that we have had people in our lives who we've tried to change, we've tried to open them up to this new way of thinking, new values, new beliefs, and they're afraid. They seem to be afraid, but then, as you just pointed out, everything in divine order. We can take a deep breath, and we listen to folks like Matt Kahn, who's an amazing teacher, about this type of philosophy that everything is in divine order. Everyone is here to teach you something. So when you see people who we believe are afraid to change, it's just that they're a messenger trying to teach you to go ahead and do it anyway. And don't let people stop you. We are all in that same boat that we have had so many people in our lives who we got frustrated with and we wanted to scream and why don't you listen, why aren't you doing? But now we're breathing deeply and we're realizing it's just meant for me to change. Their change may not come. They may not. It may not even come in our lifetime. They may go on and pass away and be on the other side of the dirt, and we will still be here saying, oh, I've learned the lesson now. I've learned the lesson. They were here to teach me how to stay in my spiritual journey and not be moved because everything is in divine order. Thank you so much, Amma, for bringing that. I think that's the perfect conclusion to this solution, is that no matter what we see, no matter what we hear, we who are conscious are going to keep moving forward. We're going to meet at Kwame's place. We're going to meet at Z's place. We'll meet at Amma's place. We just keep pressing on because everything is in divine order. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, thank
you. Well, I am
so
grateful. Did you have something, Mama AZ?
I am just grateful that I was able to be on this call at this setting. I'm here at my Tai Chi teacher's residence, and we're getting ready to have a community gathering of healers. So Sister Amma, Brother Kwame, the other sister, I couldn't get the number. So Sister Viata, I'll call you right after the show, or the sister that has the reach out, please text me 336-350-5474 with that number. Please call me. I would like to link up. Thank us.
I think India Ari's song, It's a Beautiful Day, for those of us who are awake and conscious and are walking in our divine purpose, it's a beautiful day because everything's in divine order. I'm just so grateful for all of you and for my journey that I am on with all this good, great support and especially with good music. So, and India Ari says it so beautifully. I love her music. No mistakes, just chances we've taken. We're letting down our regrets, and I'll let her sing the rest. All we have is now.
Life is a challenge, not a destiny.